Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this very special mailbag episode. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello, hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And we've got a lot of mail, you guys. Our inbox is full. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. It's spilling onto the floor. It's time.
Let's see if I can think of something funny to say.
It's illegal to destroy mail.
That's so right.
Chris was walking on it, and that's why we had to do a mailbag, because that's a federal offense.
That's right.
It's becoming a problem. So
it's called destruction of private mail.
You can destroy it after you read it, though, right?
Yeah, you have to. We have to burn everything after we read. That's our part of our policy. It's what makes us the alarmists. We don't want any paper trail.
Well, should we just jump right in?
I feel like we already have. That's what I feel like.
Well, how about I stall us before we get into the flow?
Okay.
You know, just a classic, we're about to get things started and here I'm going to restart us.
Uh-oh.
And how about we use this opportunity to encourage everyone out there to rate, review, and subscribe. Take a moment right now, do the old favor to the alarmist.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't done so already, Clayton, can you perhaps read us a review that has come in recently? This is like an example to get everyone in the headspace of writing
like
a
to
review.
I'd like to suggest that writing a review is like paying your taxes. You have to do it at least once a year, right? We're coming up on tax season.
That's true.
So just sit down.
I don't think it counts. You can't do it multiple times. It's just once.
Just once a year.
Mm-hmm. It's once in a lifetime.
Well, sure. Okay, we have a great review from DCCM, 5 stars. What I didn't know I needed. And they say, thanks to guest Lauren for asking Rebecca to say, not on my watch, live on the show. I'm finally giving in and writing a review. I first learned of this show when listening to The Office Ladies, like so many others, and have been binging since December 2022. This show is entertaining and educational, covering both light and serious topics. The hosts do an amazing job bringing comedic light while balanced respect for sensitive subjects. The show has become my stress relief and comfort in the short time listening. The hosts are amazing and love the addition of Clayton, even though we miss you, Amanda. Some topic suggestions: fraud of Theranos, the Berlin Wall, the incarceration of Joe Exotic, and the ERCOT disaster during Texas Snowvid.
Oh.
I was lucky, but many died due to power grid failures during the snowstorm in South Texas. Maybe even a crossover between the office ladies for Who's to Blame for Kevin's Spilled Chili or Scott's Tots.
Oh, that's cringe.
Thanks for starting the show and keep up the great work.
That's very nice. I mean, even suggestions. That one even had suggestions. Clayton, right? Make sure to add those to the list.
Yes, done.
And, you know, you don't even, and that was actually very lengthy. It doesn't even have to be that long. It could just be like, love it. XOXO.
In fact, the next one is exactly that.
Oh, great. You see, they all count. They're all wonderful.
You can put into the, sorry, just to slow things down even more. You can write in, now they have AI bots, chat bots, and you can just say, prompt the chat bot to write you a review, and then you can just copy and paste it.
Okay.
And then tell us, and we can decide whether we think it's a real written
review or a fake review.
Yeah, that'll be a fun
one. Well, it's all real reviews, right?
That's
it's
just right, in the style of people. But whether it was written by a prompt or
by a human?
You know. Yeah.
Okay.
I want Shakespeare reviews, please, please.
Anybody listening, next review, you type in, put in parentheses at the bottom, human or chatbot, and we'll guess live.
Okay. Well, let's jump right in. This is an email we got recently, and it says, hi, I heard about your podcast on The Office Ladies. Jenna Fisher talked about it, and it sounded interesting. I started listening a few weeks ago, and I've loved it. I have to start podcasts from the beginning, so I'm slowly making my way through. I introduced the podcast to my 14-year-old niece. She has loved it, although she's missed some of my favorite episodes because her parents won't let her listen to explicit episodes. Okay.
Oh.
This podcast has gotten her really into history. She's now asking everyone, what's your favorite tragedy in history?
Love that.
Gosh, that makes me laugh. Okay. I will say that I have to disagree with you on the Salem witch trials. The teenage girls were never put on the board. I know you talk about it later on an Aftermath episode, so that's good. But the whole time I was listening to that episode, I was yelling at my phone saying, what about the girls? They started the whole thing. I do agree that the other people and factors were definitely to blame too, but the girls were just so obvious to me. Anyway, just had to throw in my two cents there. Thanks for keeping me entertained. Keep up the good work. Chelsea Kemp. Thank you, Chelsea, for writing in. This was one of those, it wasn't as egregious as when we did the Manson murders, where we didn't put the Manson murderers up on the board.
Right. But it's close.
No, I mean, I get it. I get Chelsea's point where they did start the whole thing. Okay. We just felt that at the time they were such victims to the
right.
time, you know, the,
right.
to their
we
circumstance.
Like, right.
So we were walking a thin line, but I take your point, Chelsea. Perhaps we should have at least, sometimes we throw things on that we know we're going to cross off. Right? And perhaps that should have been one of them.
Sure.
The girls in the Salem witch trials.
Now, did we ever fully find out if any of those girls were actually witches?
Mm. Yeah.
They were, right?
There's a great show on Netflix called Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and she was one of them.
Oh.
Duh, Chris. Get with it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
How do you think where do you think
iconic.
Modern witches came from?
Oh, that's true.
Witches today, who do you think they came from?
They're ageless too. So, you know, she's just been around being a witch forever.
Sabrina. Okay.
Charmed. You've watched the show, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. That's true. What was I thinking?
Well, let's read another email. Hi there. I'm recently a new fan of this podcast, Thank You Office Ladies. I'm only 30 episodes in, but I've conjured up some ideas for new episodes if you're ever looking for things to consider. I'm not sure if you've covered these before. I'm just getting started, but thought I'd pass them along. Keep up the good work. Mari, Georgetown, Ontario, Canada.
Hey, and Canada.
Hi, Canada. And Mari sent us a notes, like a screenshot of her notes app.
I love that. That's an actual screenshot. Yes. I do use the notes app. So Mari, I'm with you.
And Mari had some good recommendations. Extinction of the Dinosaurs has to go up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Boars, the Thai soccer team that's trapped in the cave. Someone else recommended this.
Mm.
Kendall Jenner's Pepsi commercial.
Oh, yes. Right. This is already up here, but this is a must do.
Yeah, we have to do that. That's a great one.
Amanda Todd. Do we know who Amanda Todd is?
Let's see.
Chris,
I don't.
Is looking it up, but there's more. The Murder of Tyke the Elephant. I also don't know about Tyke the Elephant. Pearl Harbor. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And The Ice Age. The actual event, not the movie.
Thank you for clarifying.
Oh, this Amanda Todd. Yeah. I think I remember this vaguely. This was back in 2012. It was a 15-year-old student in Canada who committed suicide because she was cyberbullied.
Oh, no.
Gosh, that's going to be... It's hard.
That's hard. Okay, we will put these on the list. You know, recently Alex was mentioning that we don't have a lot of prehistoric episode ideas, so.
Well, I do now.
Alex will be very happy to see these on the list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, thank you, Mari, for all of your recommendations. We will put them on our list. Now, yes, Clayton?
No, I was just saying done and done.
Great. This is another email from Becca, and it reads, Hi, Alarmist. My name is Becca Blank, and I came across your podcast about a month ago. Haven't been able to stop listening to it. I'm honestly so glad I'm 3 years late to the party because I get to binge all day at work. I've been trying to think of new topics for you to cover, and I just had an idea. The issues that happened with Taylor Swift's Eras Tour and Ticketmaster. A few key points. I love when people write in and really sell their pitch.
Mm-hmm. She wants to hear this episode.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
This is good.
So here are her points. Ticketmaster sent out pre-sale codes, but they didn't ask for those codes when people got in line, so far more people were in the queue than had a code. Ticketmaster said it was overwhelmed and did not expect the number of people that were online. Bullshit excuse, because they determined the number of pre-sale codes that went out, and again, they didn't ask for the code up front.
Oof.
Apparently, anyone who had a ticket for a Taylor Swift concert that was canceled because of COVID was supposed to be guaranteed a ticket, but many of these people did not get one. Not cool. That's my dog.
Our dogs
forgive,
are both
forgive my dog.
Simultaneously trying to scratch into a pillow to get comfortable, and one of them sneezed as well. So they're obviously getting worked up about this Ticketmaster debacle.
Yeah, not happy, and up. As they should. Taylor Swift. It's a big
They're
concert.
Swifties. The dogs are Swifties.
Ticketmaster has ridiculous extra fees that increase total cost by around 40%. Not cool. A ton of lawmakers were tweeting about this in the weeks that followed, calling out Ticketmaster's monopoly on the market. Taylor Swift said that she was reassured by Ticketmaster that they would handle it, but many people speculate that Taylor was in on it. This isn't a super serious one, but it could be fun to cover, especially as her tour begins. Have a great one, and thanks for all of your hard work on the podcast. Work is much more fun because of you all. Sincerely, Becca Blank. Nice.
I'm guessing Becca tried to get tickets to Taylor
yes.
Swift. And this is one that's very close to home for her, because I can feel the passion in her bullet points.
We might have to have her on as a guest expert if she was the one who got swindled there. I think
Becca
my very pissed. Favorite commenters, emailers, Alarmy members are the ones who listen to us at work.
Uh-huh.
It just makes me so happy that people are sort of able to do other things while they're being paid by their employer. Yes. It's just so nice to me.
You know the what other I mean? Funny thing to think about is that by the time she catches up this episode, it's going to be like months from now, right? So like by the time she hears this, because she's 3 years behind, that'll be a fun little treat for her to be like, oh, and we have so many more episodes.
That is funny. And the fact that we just don't really like, we don't keep the current, we don't read the current emails. We just read them as they come in, right? Yeah. So we're just jumping
very
around
sophisticated
all over the
here.
Place. But you know what? For instance, maybe you missed the Salem Witch Trials episode. Right. And so maybe you want to go back and listen to that one. So that's an idea. Here's another one that you might want to go back and listen to. Marie Antoinette. And this is from Brie. Brie writes in, hello. I just finished listening to the Marie Antoinette episode. I know I'm behind, but towards the end of the aftermath, Rebecca and Amanda mentioned that maybe Marie Antoinette could have worn a simpler dress in a portrait to help her public image. Fun fact, she actually did try to economize her wardrobe and was criticized for it as not being regal enough for a queen. I'm reading a book now about the daughters/princesses of King Edward I of England, and the author makes a note several times that royalty was expected to promote an image of power and wealth. I'm sure this held true even centuries later for Marie Antoinette, especially in arguably the greatest court in the world. The woman truly could not win no matter what she did. Wow. She was doomed from the beginning. I like to read about European history and always enjoy your episodes about European historical figures. Thank you for being such an educational, enjoyable podcast. It's been my binge for a couple weeks now, trying to catch up. I'm definitely far more outraged and alarmed by the world. And I truly do thank you for opening up my eyes. Brie. Oh, sorry, Brie. You're welcome. You're welcome and sorry.
Just wait till you hear about all the other things you have to worry about now. There's so much ahead of you.
I know. But
if it comforts you, we're more alarmed than you are right now.
That's our job to be.
Well, we just have more things we've covered.
Oh, I see.
Can I just take a moment to share something that is alarmist related that is a direct result of being on the show?
Oh, yes, please.
I recently took a trip to Thailand, hence my break for regular listeners. And there was a moment I was taking a bus. This was like a tour to an elephant sanctuary, and was a no hands-on elephant sanctuary for our listeners, no touching. but there was a moment where the van started overheating, and several times during the trip, they had to like stop the van. We were going on a steep grade up a mountain to the sanctuary. And people were like kind of talking. I was sitting in the back of the van, and I had this thought, which was like directly related to listening to like the funicular disaster, in the mountains, where I was like, what if I started looking around and thinking, I'm in Thailand. I don't know what the regulations are. I don't know how many times they've maintained this tourist vehicle up a mountain. And I was like, if the engine were to erupt in flames, how am I going to get out of the back of this van?
Oh, God.
And it was a moment, it was like a solid 20 minutes. And I leaned to Mike and like our joy of like traveling and what we were doing. And I said, do you know? I said, look around. We might have to get out of this van. I was literally saying, I'm like, I could lean and kick this window out. And I had to like snap my setup out of it because I was starting to like not enjoy the journey I was going but I thought, you know, it is a solid that was done to me by the show, because I thought, yeah, this is what we should all be thinking about. We should just check our surroundings every once in a while, make sure you have some kind of awareness. Like, it doesn't mean it's going to happen because you think it, but it could. So you might as well have thought about an escape route.
Yes, clock your exits. Plan them out, because if something were to happen, you're not going to have time to think what's the best response to the situation right now. You're just going to go with the plan.
And I think Clayton's story is perfect, because you think about it for a moment, you come up with a small little roadmap, you create that idea in your mind, and then you move on.
Yes.
Right? Get back into the present moment.
Well,
to
that's
the
whole point, right? You don't want to be so stressed about it that you're anxious about it. Yeah.
That you figure about it for a moment so that you can enjoy the rest of the time.
Yes, that's the whole point here. I'm sorry, Clayton, and you're welcome. And I'm glad
thank you. And thank you.
I forgive you and thank you.
Yes.
But back to Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
What a fascinating, you know, historical figure. And all. And I agree with Brie.
I was also back in your heyday where you were really gunning for the fashion industry, too. Mm. So that could have been a sort of part of that.
Right. Right. But I, you know, the point is, mm-hmm. and we said this during the episode, and we know this in our hearts, Marie Antoinette was set up for failure. Mm. So the fact that, you know, she couldn't wear the right, you know, whether she wore the right. regal outfit or the non-regal outfit, like Brie said, she was doomed.
Doomed.
And as a woman, boy, can't you relate?
I can empathize.
I can empathize, but we can't understand, and we never will.
No. But my female alarmies do. They're all nodding along.
Yes.
They're going, uh-huh. Yeah, girl. Okay. So this is from Caitlin Mullane, who wrote us on Instagram and said, hi, I just listened to the Spice Girls episode, and I'm surprised that aging / life wasn't put on the board. Mm. I know that aging fans was, but what about the natural process of aging and life for the band?
This is a great idea.
The desire of posh example, the desire of Posh and Ginger to have their own lives outside of the group. I think that there was a potential that if they stayed together, they would have an opportunity to continue to make music that evolved with their fan base. Love the topic, and it made my Friday.
What I remember about this episode was just we're kind of relearning how short a period of time they actually were together.
Yes. It seemed like forever. It was like 4 years, maybe max, 4 years max or something.
It was really tight. And it's like, that's it?
Yeah. Their lives came quick. They aged fast, apparently.
I guess so. and we age slow when we're young. We think it's just forever.
Yeah, that is true, though. I just love the fact that Caitlin mm-hmm. is, I'm pretty sure it's Caitlin.
Caitlin, I think
Caitlin. Caitlin is just asking us, the fact that she's surprised that we didn't put aging and life.
We missed it. I think that was Stash and Georgia on that episode, right?
Yeah. Yes. Huge sometimes the Spice Girls. Yeah. Fans.
We'll call them up and tell them that it was really on them for not.
Don't overlook the things that are just way obvious, right in your face. Sometimes you hiding in plain sight are the biggest mm-hmm. clues. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that reminder, Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So here is a letter from, or an email from, Kim. And Kim writes, "Hey, Rebecca, Amanda, and fact checker Chris." Clayton, don't
you can,
listen.
You can go scroll online or something if you want to, Clayton.
Really loving your content. Started listening a couple of weeks ago and definitely a fan. Currently, I'm up to Vlad the Impaler. And oh, I guess in their defense, they haven't gotten to you yet, Clayton.
Yeah, no. Sure. They're behind. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Well, they have a real shock ahead of them.
Yes. Uh-oh.
I hope they're going to like it.
They're also not going to hear this email for a long time.
No. Yeah, exactly.
And every catastrophe I've listened to has not disappointed. Thought-provoking and entertainment in one package. I just had to write to get this email to give some background regarding Jaws, and I apologize if this has been brought up before now. I know you were hashing over who to blame in Jaws with a focus on the movie version. Books to movies more often than not lose details in changing the format. The main detail not addressed in the movie, but was that which was in the novel, is the shark's perspective.
Oh, really?
I guess so.
Interesting.
Clayton is nodding his head.
I don't know. This is fascinating to me.
Oh, okay. In the story, the shark is a female. The movie always addressed the shark as male. She was described in the book as one of the largest and oldest great whites in any ocean. This was due to her street smarts and evolved instincts. You don't get this far in the food chain without knowing your stuff. Miss Shark's situation? She was pregnant.
Context.
Turner. Seriously. Sharks typically give birth to 2 to 10 live pups. They begin their pregnancy with a lot more fetuses, but as the pregnancy progresses and space becomes limited, pups are known to eat other fetuses in utero. Only the strongest survive.
What a shark move.
Yeah, it is very sharky God. Of those shark babies.
In Peter Benchley's novel, the Amity shark was very close to her due date. Ooh. In preparation, her voracious appetite was increasing. She needed extra sustenance to tide her over as she knew she could not actively hunt when in labor. When her hunger was fierce, she could feel her pups lashing out at each other, ready to devour their sister or brother if they did not get nourishment soon. She was down to 3 pups and was determined to see them born. Everything is fair game. Interesting. When Quint, Brody, and Hooper set out to hunt Mommy Dearest, her appetite had ceased. She now needed to focus on delivering her remaining babies. The shark knew that it was critical for them to begin life outside the womb with no predators in her territory, oceanic or man. Life experience and evolution had taught her that the man is one of the biggest threats. As she and her children are blown to bits, we realize she was absolutely right. Oof. Keep up the good work from your listener for life. Aww. Kim Scooter, Monroe, Ohio.
Wow, Kim.
That's incredible.
I mean,
that's a whole new consideration.
Yes, and it gives you so much more sympathy for the shark.
Yeah.
Which is not great for a movie because you want a clear antagonist.
Right. You want a bad. Yeah.
You want a bad guy. Bad guy.
Bad guy.
Bad male shark. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Apparently. But how much more interesting would it have been if they had kind of introduced the complexity of the shark situation?
Yes.
Right. Hard to portray like Do you feel as bad when the shark eats the naked swimmers who are like skinny dipping on the beach? Or are you like, she's just trying to feed her babies? Then it's complex. Then is it the summer blockbuster that kicked off the summer blockbuster or no? We'll never know.
And another question is, if they did show the shark's perspective, how do you do that with sort of like a voiceover, like a
little word bubbles?
Word bubbles and under the water, you could do that. Yeah. That's true. Special effects.
Well, get a voiceover.
Right.
I mean, maybe who could voice the shark?
Melissa McCarthy.
I was thinking Melissa McCarthy too. Probably because we just watched the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And she's under the sea.
She's playing Ursula.
Yeah.
That's an easy pick.
Yeah. But I'm sure Kate Blanchett could do it.
Sure. Edie Falco.
Meryl. She's always a good option.
Meryl
is a good option. Salma Hayek would be an interesting choice.
There you go. Yeah, where's the shark from? We should really consider where it's from before we
good question.
It's in it's in New England, right?
That's true, but it's off the coast.
What if the shark's from Boston? It's
right.
It came down, you know?
Do we have any good
Bostonian actors?
Or someone who could do that.
Right. I'm sure
Sarah Paulson could probably do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Amy Adams, is she from the Northeast?
I don't know. I don't think she's got the bite for this role.
What if we go more like indie? You know what I mean? Like maybe we do like Chloe Sevigny.
That's interesting. I was going to go more intense, like Viola Davis.
Chloe Sevigny.
You know? Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay,
sure. You know?
Viola Davis would just make a meal out of the...
There you go. That would be an Oscar nod right there. Nice, Chris.
Yes.
Well, okay, so that's an option. That could have been an option that they didn't go. Do we just digress?
Hugely, yes.
We need to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure there's also something about the why did they change it from a female to a male shark? I'm sure there's a lot of patriarchy there somewhere that I have to think about more.
I do appreciate that they were protective of not wanting to show violence against females, even if a female is a shark.
Because there the movie is clear. Yeah,
no women die in Jaws.
Females, yeah.
It's just men killing men, you know.
That's right. I forgot about that whole opening scene and all the other
scenes. Or the poster.
Yeah,
which I think is a naked woman who's about to be devoured by shark.
Yeah. But I have to think about this more. This is really, really fascinating.
It is really interesting.
Yes. It's just a mom. There's nothing more fierce than a mom who's trying to protect
her kids.
Her kids.
Yeah. Have you guys ever read a book after you've seen a movie?
Yes. I'm trying to think.
No.
Because I've never done that.
I usually read it first. I did that with The Handmaid's Tale. Read it first and then I watched it.
Mm.
That's not a movie, but you get it.
No.
Yeah, I guess I can't think of something off the top of my head. Maybe I haven't.
Well, while we think about it, I'm going to do something crazy. And usually I read these in order that I get them, all the emails in order I get them. But I'm going to kind of jump forward because we've gotten a lot of mail about daylight saving time.
Okay.
A lot. This one is just says, "Hi, Chris."
Oh, God.
Great.
Oh, God.
It says, "Please tell me you don't live in California or somewhere usually warm year round. I will be so disappointed in you if you do. Empathy, my man. So where do you live?" "I'm in Wisconsin and a teacher who needs to get to school by 7:30 every day. With DST, the sky is just getting light at 7:30 in December, and temps are usually below zero. Now, imagine having to scrape your car, shovel your drive, and get to work in the pitch dark when it's 30 degrees below zero, just so you can sleep an hour more? Maestro Time Prayer Owl is thinking of all the people, not just the crabby snooze button smashers. Do what I do in March, go to bed and get up 15 minutes early starting on the Monday before DLT begins, then increase it to 15-minute increments each evening that week, if possible."
Oh, wow.
On Saturday, make a game plan with your family to locate every clock in your house, cars, garage, etc., and change them at noon. This is important. You will be ready for bed at your regular time. Your cell phone will help you if you need the actual time. What a confusing few days, weekend. But yeah, I love your podcast as I am a glass is gonna get tipped over kind of gal. Sincerely, Sue Schwiebert.
Sue, that's an incredible email.
Yes.
I really appreciate her very practical way of preparing to deal with daylight saving time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I do have empathy for you having to wake up that early in the pitch. Well, not that early, I guess I should say. Having to wait for the sun to get up.
Uh-huh.
And being that cold. Yeah. We have it nice in California.
And for the record, he does live in California, like you suspected and were angry about.
I know. But what can I say? I'm just like a chill back, you know, sea salt in my hair, kind of relaxed surfer guy. And I just, it's hard for me to put
California vibes.
Just California vibes. It's hard for me to put myself
Sue
in
Sue hates
the shoes.
You so much more now.
You're not really doing that.
It's hard for me to put myself in, as they say, Sue's shoes.
No, I would say Sue's very cold, weather-resistant boots. Yeah.
Sue's thick winter socks and lined winter boots.
Thank you, Sue. We appreciate you. I see you. And... we're supporting you with the DST.
As someone who grew up in Colorado and had to be to school as a student at 7:15 in the morning, I remember those mornings when I finally got my license, having to scrape my car and heat it up and just like the added time and just like numb fingers and toes from doing that. So
I quit. I would be like, I quit.
Yeah, I quit school. I wanted to get out of there, so I needed to finish.
Yeah, that's part of the deal.
And I'm just going to read one more of this group of emails we got. Let's see. Okay. Hey there, Alarmist team. I'm listening to the recent DST episode and listening to Chris suggest needing a little icon or mascot, per se, for PSAs regarding major changes such as DST. I would like to put forward bringing back Clippy, the lovable help tool from older versions of Word.
Right, yes. We talked about Clippy. That.
As a millennial, I miss Clippy sometimes and would be delighted if Clippy gave me my PSAs. It would make DSTs more bearable. Sincerely, Bree Anderson, Quincy, Illinois, USA. I love it. Bree wrote down USA.
Quincy, USA. Illinois, Nicaragua.
So what do we think about Clippy? Did we mention Clippy or did you, were you just thinking Clippy as well, Chris?
I thought we had mentioned Clippy because we were talking about a little government Clippy version of Clippy.
Oh yes, like a little
who would pop up on our phones and be like, "Daylight savings is next week." And we can do Sue's suggestions there. Sue suggests starting to alter your day by 15 minutes leading up to Sunday or something like that.
Yeah, and what about this weird game that Sue plays where on Saturday she changes the clock at noon?
I mean,
I guess. Yeah.
Whatever
why
you
not?
Gotta do. Whatever you gotta do. You could
she's
do the
mentally
same thing
preparing
for they you know if you're like preparing for a trip and it's like a totally different time zone, there's like other ways to trick, but it's really involved. Like Sue's committed, that's the whole point.
Yeah,
right.
Committed.
So Clippy perhaps.
Love it.
We had said perhaps like a little clock, an alarm clock, that's, you know, your little icon.
Mm-hmm.
Your little friend that pops up during mm-hmm. daylight saving time. Mm-hmm.
Maybe your phone just starts to get dimmer so you can't see it. And you're like, where's the light going? Oh, we're saving the light. And then you'll know.
Everyone's phones just dim.
It's really hard to see. And you're like, oh, right, we're saving the light.
Saving the light.
Well, we'll keep brainstorming that one.
Okay.
Yeah, if you have any more ideas, we're open to them.
We're open.
Now, I guess that's it for now.
Yeah, we'll always have more mailbag episodes.
Yes, we have more mail that has not been read. We have things. We have voicemails. We have things. So, but we'll get to it.
Yes, that's right. We didn't even get to the voicemail yet. Okay, let's take a bet here. How many of you think Deputy Chris has written a letter since the last mailbag?
When you say you guys, do you mean listeners or mean Chris?
Well,
because you know they can't respond.
Yeah, but well, I guess decide. Yeah, all right. What I don't know how to gamble, but under or over or whatever.
I mean, the question is kind of a giveaway to me. I'm now betting that he did.
He did.
He definitely did. Yeah. Yes.
that should every mailbag should start with the bet. Whether or not he wrote in.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, good, good.
That way we can never know.
There's a Deputy Chris email. There's a lot of emails, you guys. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to them. Here at The Alarmist, we will get through every piece of mail because we do not destroy any kind
tamper
of mail.
With,
or tamper with.
Or even tamper with.
Yes.
Any mail. Kind of mail.
No.
It's illegal.
Until we've opened it. And then we burn it.
You can tamper
once you realize
with
your
own
it's
mail,
our mail.
Then we read it and burn it.
Right. Then we read it and burn it.
It's not our mail and we've committed a crime, then we send ourselves directly to jail.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Our own jail, which we have the keys to, so it's more it's of just tricky. Like a house.
Well, it's
like a timeout. It's a timeout. We give ourselves a timeout.
Well, stay tuned because next week we're going to be covering the JonBenet murder case.
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.